Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Happy Titans game day today. Titans hitting the road to Pittsburgh, taking on the Steelers tonight on Thursday Night Football. Preds also in action tonight in Seattle, taking on the Seattle Kraken. D-Mace is here. How we doing, D-Mace?
Hey, I'm doing well. I know Titan fans are excited to see what their young quarterback, what his encore performance will be after last week. I think everyone, you know, that follows football and have been following the Titans want to see how well, or not well, Will Levis does this upcoming week. Tonight. So I'm excited, get a chance to see the Titans and then flip over a little bit after that and watch the Nashville Predators, put one on the Kraken. I'm calling it. They're going to put one on a Kraken. So there you go.
Got to get it cracking.
Exactly.
Willie joins us from Seattle. Willie, how we doing?
I like to hear it, guys. I like to hear it. It's a rainy day in Seattle. I know you guys are really surprised.
Are you serious? It's raining in Seattle?
Yeah. It does tend to do that from time to time over here. But, all is well out here. It's going to be a great sports night. It is one of those nights where you're flipping the channels and hoping for good things for both of the local teams. I'll be heading to the morning skate here in a little bit at the Climate Pledge Arena. And this will be the 32nd and last, I shouldn't say last, because you never know. Expansion could be coming up down the road. But this will be an arena that I've never called a game in. Last year, both of the games were nationally broadcast, so I was just a spectator. But big game tonight for both teams, and looking forward to it.
So, Willie, this is the only arena you haven't called a game in?
Yes, of the 32 current buildings, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
32 of 32 for now.
Absolutely.
Yep. So now when Elliot has his 32 thoughts, I can weigh in on all 32.
He's got his 32 thoughts. You've got your 32 arenas.
Yep.
And D-Mace, you mentioned it. Everyone's going to be looking at Will Levis. All eyes have been really on Will Levis all week long. He's been the topic of conversation. I was even chatting with a bunch of SEC football people. The first thing they brought up to me was, how about Will Levis? What's everybody in Nashville talking about with Will Levis? And those are a bunch of people who could probably care less about the NFL. So all eyes are going to continue to be on Will Levis, and not just because of the amazing performance he had this past week, but because he's a rookie quarterback, and he's probably more likely than not your quarterback moving forward, your quarterback of the future. But I've been feeling a little bit guilty.
Mm.
Is it wrong of me to kind of expect Will Levis to struggle a little bit tonight? Is it wrong of me to just go ahead and have that, go into this game in that frame of mind?
I think we all, because nobody, even if, it was Patrick Mahomes, his first start, just go down the list of quarterbacks who have had great careers or who are now just starting to build their career. That second start is always that, especially if they did extremely well the first start. The second start is, it's going to come back down to earth. We just hope it doesn't come back down to earth fast and crash. We hope it has a gradual landing and, just sits there. So I understand why, you are sort of, you feel the way you feel. And we've been talking about it all this week, not getting too high, not getting too low. I think the young man, he's going to have his moments. And tell me if you agree with this, Willie. I don't think it's so much about Will Levis. I think we need to pay attention to Tim Kelly and how he calls this game, knowing that it's his second start in a rush week against a team from a statistical standpoint. It's not the Steeler team of old, but you're getting Hayward back. You got T.J. Watt. Those linebackers, I'm going to tell you, those linebackers are good. And they cause turnovers. So I want to see how Tim Kelly calls this game. Will he be aggressive like he was last week, knowing Atlanta played a lot of single high? Or will he sort of, hey, it's a short week, let's rely more on Derrick Henry and do more play action rather than, you know, just taking the ball straight up and drop back and throwing the football?
Yeah, I'm trying to temper my expectations as well. I expect a great performance by the Steeler defense tonight. I feel like it's gonna be, they're gonna make it tough on Levis. That's why I think I'm trying to be realistic. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to a little bit what I said last week. If he has some moments, right? If he can hold up under the pressure and overcome some rough times, either it's, you know, three or four straight series where you don't get anything done. Maybe you throw a pick or you make a mistake. Can he get through it and have some good moments and keep his team in the game? It'd be hard to expect them to get up into the high 20s in points. That's the Steelers play those grinder games like the Titans often do. So can they support him? I think that's a great point, D-Mace. Can Tim Kelly do some good things to support him? Can some of the other role players step up and make a play or two? You know, and can they support him with a good running game? And maybe the biggest thing is, can they do a decent job of pass protection? Because that, I thought, was the key to everything last week. They really protected him well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, when I say, is it fair of me to expect him to struggle a little bit, I think that's more fair than expecting Will Levis to repeat what he did last Sunday. I think it is fair. And it's setting fair expectations for Will Levis to understand that, hey, you're not going to throw four touchdowns every single game. Mm-hmm. You're going up against a much better defense, a Pittsburgh defense with T.J. Watt, for crying out loud, that gets to the quarterback. Last week against Atlanta, and this isn't me taking anything away from Will Levis's performance against Atlanta, but that's an Atlanta defense that just simply does not get to the quarterback the same way that T.J. Watt and Pittsburgh do. Short week, another aspect of it. On the road, in a tough place to play. So I think all of those factors, and also understanding that your first start in the NFL does not define what you are going to do for the rest of your career, nor does it define your career. Your second start will not define what you do in your career and your entire career as a whole. So if Will Levis comes out, and look, I'm not expecting him to look horrible. Mm-hmm. I surely don't hope he looks horrible, but I'm going to acknowledge the possibility and maybe even likelihood that he struggles a good bit. If he does, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that is okay. You're not going to get four touchdowns every single week. You're going to see the young guys struggle. But like what you've been saying all week, D-Mace, let me see how you can bounce back from that. After a turnover, in adversity, in difficult situations, let me see how you react. As a young quarterback, that's all I really need. Wins and losses absolutely are great. Mm-hmm. Four touchdowns in a game, I'll take that every single week. That's not realistic.
No, it's not. But you just try to do enough around him to support him, to keep him, not worrying about certain things, meaning the offensive line. Now, it's going to be a tough task for the offensive line tonight, not having Hubbard, and then, you know, Steelers get Hayward back. They got T.J. Watt. Like I said, those linebackers, they're good. Now, Pittsburgh don't have Fitzpatrick on their back end and their safety. He's one of their better players. But this is still a defense that tries to disguise things, try to confuse, quarterbacks, let alone a young quarterback. So, again, I go back to what will Tim Kelly's game plan look like, especially early in the game, coming off a short week. Pittsburgh, they're hungry for a victory. They get one of their best players back, so I know they're going to be amped about that. But how do Tim Kelly call this game for this young quarterback? Again, does he go out and be aggressive like he did last week, or is he going to taper it down some, knowing it's a short week, and allow his veteran guys to sort of lead the way? D. Henry, D-Hop, even though he's dealing with a toe injury. Chris Moore, he needs to be a veteran guy that steps up. Nick Westbrook Ikhine, and then obviously the offensive line. But this game really for me is a Tim Kelly game. This is a game he needs to earn his money. Again, a short week, young quarterback. What type of game plan are you putting together for a young quarterback against a historically really, really good defense? They get a lot of takeaways. That game, I mean, hell, Jacksonville tried to give them the game last week because Pittsburgh was taking the ball away from them so many times. They just couldn't get it done. But, again, I go back to Tim Kelly. He needs to earn this. This is another game where he needs to earn that paycheck. How do you call a game for a young quarterback on a short week?
Do you guys think the game plan is going to be a little bit of a punt is good? And I don't mean, you know, you're not trying to score, but like if you knew that you could, that you're just going to have some series where it's going to look ugly and you have a good punter, which I think they do, you know, as long as he doesn't hit the line drive and you know, that, and that is a concern, right, if you're going to play this way. But I think no turnovers is a plus. Right. If you just if you just can say we're not going to turn the ball over, we feel like you guys can't score and we'll be more opportunistic. I wonder if that's the approach tonight.
I would take that approach against this defense, especially with Hayward coming back in tandem with the TJ Watt. I would take that approach. Like punting's OK. But it's not fun football to watch necessarily. You know, it's,
do we want fun or do we want victories?
I'll take a gross victory.
Exactly.
A boring snooze fest of a 9-6 kind of victory. And against two good defenses, it very well could play out like that, where it's a Nick Folk, get out there.
Earn your money,
Ryan,
my man.
Stonehouse, you know. Lob a punt between the 10, you know, whatever you can do. I would take that approach because if you have to account for the Pittsburgh defense is going to make your life difficult. It's going to make your life hard. And like you alluded to, if you punt, that means you didn't turn it over.
Yeah.
And I'll take that.
Yeah, so it's going to have to be a team effort from an offensive standpoint. And also, you know, because of the way Pittsburgh played. Now, I don't know if they're going to take Joey Porter Jr. and, you know, sort of shadow him with D-Hop. The games that I've watched, they didn't do it so much, but he is their best corner. You know, his,
he's a rookie.
Yeah, his completion rate is very low. He's a big, long, tall, physical guy when he needs to be, 6'2". If you watch him at Penn State, I thought he, you know, he was a top two or three corner coming out. But he allows them to do some things that they probably want to do even more because his ability to cover one guy. But then again, I don't know if they're going to allow, you know, Porter Jr. to roam around with D-Hop. But with that being said, that's where these other guys come into play. Nick Westbrook Ikhine. I'm not sure about Chris Moore. Will he play? Will he not play? He didn't practice much this week, but I do anticipate him playing. So those guys need to step up and make plays for the young quarterback. Chika Conquo, keep going back to him. He needs to step up. Those linebackers are not great in coverage. So this is a game where he potentially can insert himself into this offense and allow the young quarterback to feel comfortable with throwing him the football. So it's going to it's not like the old Pittsburgh and Tennessee battles where you just knew, like, man, both defenses are staunch. They're not going to let you run the football. It's not that type of game. It's not.
And those aren't those type of teams.
Yeah, because both teams, you know, have had their struggles stopping the run. But I think it's a game where you got to be very careful because as a coordinator and a quarterback, because Pittsburgh, they force you into throwing turnovers at times, and they've gotten their fair share of turnovers. So that's why I just continue to go back to Tim Kelly. What type of game are you going to call for this young quarterback against a defense that's historically a great defense, but they're not playing up to that level this season as we sit after, what, 7 games going into 8?
Let's bring up the other big factor in any game, but especially this game, I think, and that is the explosive plays. I'll go back to that second. It was week 2 and it was the Browns and the Steelers. It was unfortunately the game that Nick Chubb got hurt, and that's what everybody's talking about. But it was another just smothering performance by the Browns defense. The Steeler offense really didn't get much done, except they hit a couple of huge plays down the field, and that was their offense, basically. And that was enough for them to win. That on both sides of the ball, to me, is big. Can you keep Pickens from getting loose and having a play or two like that? The Titans have been susceptible at times like that for plays. Pass interferences down the field, things like that, cheap yards that keep, because the Steelers, I think, have trouble. They definitely have trouble driving the football 75 yards, right? They're not that type of team. They need big plays. And if the Titans can prevent that, that's big. And then on the other side, what a great game it would be if you could get Burks behind the defense one time, like that play against the Chargers. That would be a huge, huge element if they could find a way to get one or two of those.
And I think one element of the game against Atlanta last week that rightfully so has been overshadowed by Will Levis is how Derrick Henry was used. And also Tajay Spears, just the run game in general, where I thought that Derrick Henry had over 100 yards on Sunday, did he not? 22 carries for 101. So yeah. I felt like, in my opinion, that was kind of a quiet 101, where there wasn't one of those big 40, 50-yard Derrick Henry runs, but it was just give the ball to Derrick, let him pick up 4, 5, 6 here and there. That helped this Titans offense set up the pass so well. That they were able to get this offense in a comfortable enough position where Will Levis could air it out. I know that right now Pittsburgh doesn't have the best run defense statistically. Like, they're giving up just shy of 5 yards a crack. But add Hayward back into the equation and understanding that this Pittsburgh's defense is probably, their approach is probably going to be, we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. They'll probably stack the box, maybe sell out a good bit to stop the run. Without a consistent run game, what does this pass game look like with Will Levis?
If you don't have a run game, it makes it very hard for the quarterback, any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback, getting his second start. Because what happens is you become one-dimensional. And now those two really good, great defensive ends that they have, they get to pin their ears back and they get to go after the passer. So they're going to have to be able to establish some type of run game. And I think they will be. Again, if Derrick Henry has a game like he did last week, that's the type of game you want against Pittsburgh. Grind it out, yardage, just controlling the clock. It'd be great to have Derrick Henry, transformed into Derrick Henry of 2 or 3 years ago, where he's popping off 40 and 50 yarders and 30 yarders. That's great, and I hope he can do that. But if he can't get those big chunk yardage, 3 here, 5 here, 6 here, 2 here, 3 here, 5, 4. So he's grinding out those yardage, and he's slowing down the game for a young quarterback. This game doesn't need to be sped up. It needs to be slowed down and controlled. And how do you do that? With Derrick Henry and his, like I just said, just methodical running. Just, it doesn't have to be anything great. But then you look up at the, you look at the stat sheet at the end of the game. He has 25, 26 carries for, a $110 or a $120 with a touchdown. And you're like, man, I thought he had less than that.
When did that happen?
Exactly. So that's the type of game you want to have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you can do that against the Steelers, I'll be impressed. Mm-hmm. But if you look, Henry had a long run of 14 yards, but he still averaged 4.6 yards per carry. So that tells you that there were a lot of good 5, 6 yard runs in there, right? There weren't a ton of minuses, and they were staying on time. And that's a big thing for this offense. They even threw it to him a couple of times. Those little simple passes on first and second down didn't get anything big, but he had significant gains and again, led them to second and four or third and two. That is what you want for the rookie quarterback. I also think this, that when this offense has been at its best, it definitely happened last week. Levis's arm has got to be something that's in the back of your mind as a Steeler defense. He can get it down the field, right? If you get a guy down there, you know, he can make the throw. Like you said, Derek, he makes every throw. And I think it's not like Tannehill has a bad arm or anything like that, but Levis has a cannon. And that stretches a defense, right? So if you can take a couple shots there and loosen them up and hit one or two of them, I think that's something you got to try, especially those early, you know, those early play actions where you get the defense in that stacked box, you might have a shot or two there.
And I think that's key here, too, is it presents a threat in the passing game that you might not necessarily have had with Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, too, is Will Levis can escape pressure.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, that's going to be pressure coming from TJ freaking Watt. So, you know, like that's – you can't expect him to evade every single sack or all the pressure that comes at him. And he's going to make a bad mistake or two. He's going to, because that's what rookie quarterbacks do. That's what environments like that do. And that's what defensive players like Cam Hayward and TJ Watt do. It's just that is just a matter of fact. But Will Levis's legs and ability to escape pressure, I think that also is another factor that's going to come into play here that maybe we didn't see as much last week. I mean, the Falcons still got, what, two sacks and a handful of quarterback hits? Like, they still got to the quarterback a good bit. Expect more of that pressure to come from the Steelers. But I am intrigued to see what kind of plays Will Levis can make and pressure he can escape.
You know, that move the pocket, you know, on the pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Derek, I wonder if you can do a little bit more of that, too. I mean, Levis seemed very comfortable doing that, and they were not doing that at all with Tannehill, which tells me that the ankle surgery, what is it, the tightrope, all that, it definitely limited compared to what we used to see from Tannehill. They did not use his legs much at all in the game plan. I think you got to do that today. You can't have him be a sitting target in the pocket, because simply Dillard can't block those guys, right? You've got to give them a chance by moving them around some and keeping the defense on their heels a bit, I think.
You just cannot let TJ Watt take the game over. Mm-mm. You can't, I mean.
Not at all.
You let Myles Garrett take the game over against Cleveland. I didn't love how much they abandoned the run against Cleveland. It's not going to be pretty. There's going to be Derrick Henry gains of two, Derrick Henry loss of one, Derrick Henry gain of three. It's not going to be the prettiest, sexiest run game. But don't let TJ Watt kill you and stay consistent in the run game. Mm-hmm. But what I want to get into coming up next is who are going to be the most important factors for Will Levis to not be vulnerable, to have a successful night tonight. D-Mace mentioned Tim Kelly. Want to get into that and some other players that we'll see that can also help Levis out tonight as well. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Whenever you talk about like Will Levis, obviously you're on the defensive side of the ball for most of your career. I assume all of it, coaching defense?
Yes.
36 years coaching on defense side of the ball, 18 in the NFL. Will Levis comes out of nowhere, seemingly, and has a monster game. We're all incredibly happy for him, especially with everything that happened. And I think revenge body season for Will Levis as well in his personal life, not 100% sure. I think that made its way around the internet as well. For him to come out, ball out in his first game, obviously awesome for him and for the future of the Titans. Vrabel's obviously coming, I mean, he hasn't really said anything, but Shefty came on and said, Will Levis plays good, it's his job, They're basically looking at the future with him. For the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, is one game enough to know what type of guy this guy's going to be as a quarterback in the NFL? Is there still the surprise, potentially, that we don't have a book on Will Levis on the defensive side of most of these teams?
That's a great point, and yeah, there still is. So they've watched all the college tape. They've talked to their scouts who evaluated this kid coming out. We all saw the talent, the arm that this guy – I mean, he's got a cannon, right?
Yeah.
And then the touch, the dimes that he dropped to D-Hop, unbelievable.
When he was coming out for the combine, didn't he say, I got a cannon, I'm going to show it off?
Yes.
He actually said that.
And he's got confidence, he's got swag, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. You know, he sat in that green room for
– 2 nights.
Long time.
I mean, a long, long time, right? So you know that festered.
Welcome. Did Will Levis say at the combine that he has a cannon?
He does.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Not at all.
But he is Don Juan as well.
Yeah, we all saw him in the green room with his hot mom and sisters and girlfriend. Rich. Rich Gannon.
I mean, there was more said about this guy from all angles. It's unbelievable, right? And so I do get that chip on your shoulder thing, right? And on top of the whole draft thing, then he was kind of sitting behind the scenes. Nobody was talking about him. Nobody saw him or anything for about 2 months, right? And then here he is.
Yeah, he's been in the lab.
Yeah.
Cooking things up for his debut against the Falcons. And it paid off. So whether it's the cannon and the chip on his shoulder, whatever it is, now all eyes are on Will Levis. Now you can't say you are the underrated or disrespected quarterback that fell to day two. Now it's your job. That was Chuck.
Don't you think it was a good thing, guys, that he did go away for a while? Because the microscope had to be wearing on him, right? Mm-hmm. And it had to sort of bug him too. Like, man, I don't, whether he wanted it or not, I think it was probably good that completely the spotlight turned in another direction and he could kind of go into the lab and get lost for a while. Because it looks pretty clear that, at least so far, mm-hmm. there's some signs that he was working pretty hard behind the scenes to get better and be ready for this moment.
And he should have been.
Yeah. I mean, sports has a funny way of humbling, whether it be, during the game or, the draft. And, when you go into that phase of your life and you're on cloud nine, and some guys, get knocked down a peg, and some guys that, are struggling, they get themselves in a position to, they get drafted by a team and then they go in there and do the job and then all of a sudden they feel good about themselves. So, like you said, Willie, maybe that was a good thing for him. I'm sure he didn't like it, and he would rather not have learned that lesson. But I think it was a lesson that he needed to learn. This sport will humble you very, very quickly. And he got humbled at the draft. And I know that's still in the back of his mind. It has to be. Hell, it was in the back of my mind, and I played for 15 years. So I know it's in the back of his mind when you're projected as a first rounder, a high pick, and all of a sudden you don't get picked into the second round. That has to humble you. But it also makes you, it should make you, and it seems like it's done that for Will Levis, make you go back into the lab and really put your head in the book and dissect and absorb everything. So when you get your opportunity, you're ready from a mental standpoint. Because again, he has all the physical tools. It's the mental aspect of this game for the quarterbacks that they need to get over. And he started off well. Now let's see if he can kind of keep it going.
Yeah, we're just getting started. But Caroline, remember what Mike Vrabel did from the start. The very first OTA, Mike Vrabel said, Will Levis is the third string quarterback. Mm-hmm. Malik Willis is the second string quarterback. And that held all the way through last week, right? Malik Willis was dressing as the second quarterback. So I think they made it a point to make Will Levis earn the opportunity, right? And I think that maybe set the tone for what we're talking about here. I don't want to see – it's not about the social media stuff. Let's teach this kid – we know he's got the swag inside of him, right? We know he's got that competitive. We've seen it, right? But let's kind of make sure he sees the priorities and where he's got to get to be ready for when he takes the center stage. I don't think it would have been a good thing for him to have any kind of look at me kind of stuff where people keep playing into the mayonnaise thing and all of the things that we were talking about at the draft. I think it's awesome that that all went away. And maybe it was a little bit because, like you said, Derek, they made it a point to say, you're starting from the bottom, and you got to work your way up to it. We're not handing you anything.
Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning, and he talked about that, about how Mike Vrabel might be the perfect coach for Will Levis. He referenced the video, I believe TD put it out there on Twitter, of Will Levis walking into the tunnel. Mike Vrabel talked to him, and it was kind of an awkward exchange mm-hmm. where Mike Vrabel is just kind of talking very matter of fact to him, and Will Levis nods, turns around, and walks away. And I think Titans fans read into that like, Mike Vrabel hates Will Levis. That he's not, you know, embracing him with a big old hug and a big high five and a gold star. But Charles Robinson's point was one of the knocks on Will Levis throughout the draft process. And look, I don't know Will Levis. I don't know if this is true or not. But he said a lot of GMs and head coaches across the league maybe were turned off by a sense of arrogance that they may have gotten from Will Levis. A certain sense of self-confidence that could have been misportrayed as self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he started to fall, is GMs were turned off by his self-confidence. And Charles' point was, Mike Vrabel is not the coach that's going to give you flowers. Mike Vrabel's not the kind of coach that's going to blow sunshine up everyone's behind. He's going to keep everyone very measured. He always makes it about the team. One of the first questions he was asked in his press conference earlier this week was about Will Levis, and he made it about a good team win. He's done that with Derrick Henry. He does that with Ryan Tannehill. He has done that. Any big game that an individual player has, it always makes it about the team. And maybe Will Levis needed to be knocked down a peg. Maybe Will Levis needed that coach to say, hey, look, you were one of 32.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's so much 52, that.
52, rather. And I don't know. That was just the point that Charles Robinson was making.
I think it's more so of just, you know, because he knows how this league is. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you have a great game today. But tomorrow, it could be a different story. I don't want you to get – he wants to get him used to just being on an even keel. Now, you can be fired up and everything else. But when you're in the fire and you're fighting, you need to be even keel. You need to be under control. Everybody needs to look at you and say, okay, my quarterback's under control. We're good. They don't need to see you frantic and, you know, doing some of these things that – may look as if you don't know what's going on or you're nervous. He wants to keep him even keel because that's the way Mike is, and mm-hmm. it seems like that's the way this team is. Listen. As far as the perceived arrogance and all that other stuff, listen. If you can prove it out on the field, be who you are. As long as when you step across those lines, you're playing your tail off. Be who you are. You get in trouble because some players get in trouble because they have this big persona, but their game's small. You can't have a big persona in a small game. If you have a big persona, you need to have a big game as well. Listen, I played with a bunch of guys that had big personas, but they also had big games too. You know, they step on the field, and you know exactly what you're getting out of them.
Joe Burrow, I think, is a good example of that, with the fur coat and the sunglasses and the flashy flash.
And nobody,
but you can back it up.
And here's the thing. If Will Levis was at Kentucky and they went 11-1 and was in the college football playoff both years, they wouldn't talk about that perceived arrogance. Because you know who had the same perceived arrogance? Joe Burrow. Well, but Joe Burrow was winning.
When you're not winning,
numbers.
It's arrogance. Absolutely. When you're winning, it's confidence and
absolutely.
Swagger.
So Will Levis needs to continue to have that winning mentality. You may not win every game, but you got that winning mentality in you. He needs to have that with the big persona. It's going to eventually, his personality is going to continue to come out. Mm-hmm. You know, but in with it coming out, you also got to be even keeled on the field. But you can still have that big persona as long as you're going out and having big games too.
So Tom Pelissero reported earlier this morning that DeAndre Hopkins will play tonight. He was out in practice yesterday with a toe. And whenever I see toe, I get worried because it could mm-hmm. be hangnail. It could be turf toe. And two very different things. So Tom Pelissero reports that DeAndre Hopkins will play tonight. And I breathed an audible sigh of relief because I thought after that performance last week, this young quarterback needs DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, how bad of a sign is this for Treylon Burks? That my first thought of if DeAndre Hopkins can't go, then who in the heck is Will Levis going to throw to? And I think that's a bad sign for Treylon Burks that I don't even consider him much of a factor in this game.
Well, Treylon can't blame anyone but himself. beside not being on the field, but half the time, or close to half the time. That's something that, you know, players get hurt, and I get it. But when you're on the field, what are you giving me? And frankly, you haven't given the Titans anything to be encouraged by. You haven't. Because you've dropped way too many balls for their liking, I know. You haven't made enough big plays. You haven't inserted yourself in this offense. You are and supposed to be the number one option in the passing game. You are. That's what they envision. Even bringing on DeAndre Hopkins, I'm telling y'all what they envisioned. That Treylon Burks would still be the number one option. But when teams start to double Treylon Burks, then DeAndre Hopkins can do what he does so well, catch the football. And then you just got to figure out who are we going to double now, you know. But you haven't given defenses that choice, Treylon Burks. So, damn it, you need to step up. This is the game you need to show that you were worthy of that pick. It doesn't have any, to me, it doesn't have anything to do with who they traded away. It has everything to do with showing them that you deserved to be picked where you were. You haven't shown that yet. This is a game on Thursday night. Nobody else is watching any other football. All eyes on you. And if you go out there and lay another egg, you know what people are going to nationally, they're going to start talking about? Because they hadn't talked about you nationally, Treylon Burks. Why? Because not many people pay attention to the Tennessee Titans, okay? Other than Derrick Henry. I'm just being honest here. Other than Derrick Henry, maybe Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin, but he's gone. But if you go out and lay another damn egg, now they're going to be talking about you on national television. So you need to go out there and ball. You need to help your young quarterback. Let him gain confidence in you that the future looks bright with the both of you.
How do you get involved? Like, is it as simple as just, hey, I'll be open and hit me and I'll come down?
Catch the football.
Yeah.
Catch the first one that comes to you. Then catch the second one. Then catch the third one. Just catch the damn ball, Treylon Burks, and you will be featured in his offense. You drop one or two, or you drop that first one.
You're not getting it again.
They're not looking to come back to you as much. And you're going to see him out of the game more than in the game. You're going to start seeing more of Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine rather than Treylon Burks.
That's what I'm wondering about, is a couple of different factors. When you've missed time and you're exactly where he is in his career, right? Hasn't gotten over the hump. Is he physically back? Is his knee bothering him at all at this point? That's one question. I don't know the answer to anything. Mm-hmm. Number two, is he better in the flow this week? Game shape, right? Running the routes more sharp, crisp. Because there's got to be a little rust when you miss the time that he's missed. That's the second thing that I'm wondering. Will that be better this week? And then three, you I think touched on it, Derek. This might be the biggest one. Confidence. Where is his confidence right now? I think everybody would say in the training camp, his confidence was way up there. Right, he was catching everything. He was the talk of practice, and then the knee injury happened. So on those three things, to me, those are the questions, right? And those are things nobody can know the answer to unless you're him. But he needs some positive things to happen. I'm going to temper expectations. I want to see where he is at the end of the year. I'm not expecting anything big tonight. I would take one big play, one or two big plays from him tonight. I think that's more realistic.
One big play would
yep.
double his
big
his total yes. big plays on the season. One,
no, you're right.
One catch tonight.
But look, let's be honest. He has not been right since that knee injury.
No.
He has not been right.
I predicted this morning on Chase and McJoe that he'd have three catches. So, I mean, I expect a pretty big night from Treylon Burks.
Three catches is a big night. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But that's
well,
a
three
shame.
Catches is a big night if one of them's a 40-yarder,
exactly.
You know, or one of them's a touchdown in the red zone.
Well, yes,
right? Three catches could be huge.
Three catches for 10 yards or three catches for 30
right.
yards. That ain't
that's
doing
a whole
nothing
different
for
thing.
Them.
Yeah.
In my brain, this morning, I woke up thinking Treylon Burks, three catches, 56 yards. I don't know why, but that's what came to my brain.
Well, and one of them needs to be a touchdown. It needs to be a touchdown. One of them.
Let's get into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 5 p.m. on the road against New Mexico State, pregame beginning at 4 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Dee Mace at Twin Peaks and Cool Springs tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 9 matchup against the Steelers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. We've got some thoughts in our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Unless we got some thoughts.
Let's go.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. But Ben texts in and says, the majority of games in the NFL's past and future won't be as good as last week's for Levis. If he is a franchise quarterback for us for the next 12 years, last week will still likely be a top 10 career game. I'm excited to see him have a more normal type of game and still lead us to victory, because that'll be required way more often moving forward. That's kind of a vibe that I'm getting in the text line a lot. Mm-hmm. Is last week was awesome. It was so cool to see him be Superman. But I want to see what he does under duress. I want to see what he does when maybe things aren't, I don't want to say comfortable, because mm-hmm. you're playing in the National Football League. It's never going to be comfortable. But maybe under more extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
Tougher defenses?
Tougher defenses. It's going to get a little bit harder for him, just because now teams, the more games you play, the more tape we have on you, the more we get to read your tendencies. It's going to be a little bit harder from that standpoint. But I think your first game is always the most nervous you can possibly be, because it's your first start. You know, everybody's watching, your family's in the stands. You don't want to go out there and play bad because you think, man, this may be my only shot. So you're nervous about all of that. So you got to try to put all of that and compartmentalize that and just put it away. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, like that first game you play. Nobody can tell me different, because my first game was much different from my second game. I felt a little bit at ease, like, okay. Even though things may not have went the way I wanted it to, but from a mental and emotional standpoint, I felt a little better, because now it's my second game. Now I've seen some defenses. Now I see how fast this game really goes, as opposed to being on the sideline. Yeah, I can see it fast, but it's even faster once you're on the field playing it. So that first game is always, always a difficult game, because you have so many other things involved with your first start. Second game, it's going to be tough, because defense has got some tape on you. But from an emotional standpoint, from a what-to-expect standpoint, I feel a little bit more at ease, because now I've proven I can play in this league. Yes, there are going to be things that happen in the game. Yes, I may throw an interception. Yes, I may get sacked or whatnot. But I know I can play in this league now, you know? And I feel a little bit more at ease. Not to say I'm completely 100% Joe Cool, but I feel a little bit more at ease. So that second start is always a little bit better from just an emotional standpoint than that first start.
And it makes total sense of getting that kind of first game bugaboo mm-hmm. over with. And it's like, okay, whew, now I can breathe a little bit easier. But I do think there could be an element of, oh my gosh, I played so well in my first game. Now I have so much pressure to do that again in game two.
Yeah.
And I don't know how Will Levis feels, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, that's tough to live up to when that's the standard that you set. Even though it's unfair to expect that every single game, and it's unfair to expect more in game two. You know, it's a natural feeling.
Hey, you never know. He can throw for another 4 touchdowns.
Hey, if you can.
Do it.
Yeah, bye, Ryan. Skylar Texan says, I'd like to see the first play of the game play action pass to either Chig or Burks. I want the Titans to get the ball in Burks and Chig's hands as fast as possible. Is the anticipation Burks and Chig have messing with them, like waiting for their moment, and when it comes, they have overthought it so much that they drop the ball and or just do something stupid? Your thoughts on that?
I think they've actually really tried to get mm-hmm. Chig involved. Mm-hmm. I think they've given him ample chances, almost to the point where it's like, I'm not sure this is the right thing. Like, with Wiley back tonight, I'm curious how they use him and Chig together. But, yeah, I'm very concerned. The name that popped into my mind, Derek, about Chig is Ben Troop. Remember Ben Troop?
Yes.
I think it was towards the end of your time with the Titans and then beyond. I think after you left, when they were desperate to find the new guy. Ben Troop could look so good running down the field, and on occasion he'd make a good play, but it just became such a thing where it started weighing on him. When the big moment came, he couldn't catch it, and it was just like, up, we can't hold out hope that the light's going to go on. And I'm worried that we're getting to that point with Chig. Is it worth, like the texter is saying, hey, let's get him involved. Let's get him involved. Because if you keep going to the well too many times, you're not getting anything. You're better off doing something else. Right.
Yeah. I mean, getting Chig Okonkwo and Treylon Burks involved in a game early, I thought was always a good thing, because again, I go back to, you never want a young guy. Now, D-Hop is a different story. I think even with that, you don't want him to go too long without trying to get him the ball. Now, whether he makes the catch or it's catchable or not, that's a different story. But trying to get him involved in the game, they're going to do that with D-Hop. But I think it's very imperative tonight that they get those young pass catchers involved in the game very, very early, whether it be, again, a hitch, a slant, because Pittsburgh is going to give you that. They're going to give you the hitch and the slant. They're going to try to come up and be physical with you and try to dislodge you from the ball. But to get those guys involved in the game early, quick passes to them early. So one, they could build some confidence in themselves. And then two, you will find out where they are from a mental standpoint when you try to get them in a game early. And the one guy that I think Pittsburgh is really worried about, I truly believe, is a Treylon Burks, because they don't know. They know he has a big play capability, but now you have a quarterback that could get him the ball down the field, deep down the field, throwing it.
Got to catch it.
But he has to catch it. But yet and still, you don't want a guy like that for this to be sort of his coming out party this season versus you on Thursday night. You don't want that to happen, because he is the guy. We saw what D-Hop can do. We've seen what D-Hop can do his whole career. So they know that's a known commodity. They know what he can do. And they feel, okay, if we do some things within the defense, he's not going to beat us over the top like he did Atlanta. We're not going to play single high. We're not going to play him one-on-one like that. It's Treylon Burks that we need to not let get in the flow of the game, because truly, if he does get in the flow of the game, which, again, from what I've seen, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm just being honest here. I don't know if it's going to happen. But that's one guy, I guarantee you, Mike Tomlin's like, Derrick Henry, we know. There's a bullseye on him. We know we can't let him get going. D-Hop, we know what he can do. But Treylon Burks, we can't let this big fella get started in the passing game, because from a physical standpoint, they have nobody. Even Joey Porter, who's 6'2", he still doesn't match up from a physicality standpoint with Treylon Burks. So that's one guy they don't want to get involved in the offense.
If I'm Mike Tomlin and the defensive coordinator, I'm not going to let DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry beat me. Mm-hmm. If Treylon Burks somehow has a breakout game after we haven't really seen a lot of Treylon Burks this season and really the entirety of his NFL career, well then, man, hats off to Treylon Burks.
But see, they know D-Hop. They know his limitations. His limitations is he's not a burner down the field. He got deep down the field this past week twice because, to me, blown coverage, and then he just use his physicality. You can call it an OPI, whatever, but it was a touchdown.
First one was OPI.
Yeah. But Treylon possesses something that they don't want to get started. Again, I don't know if he's going to get started, but you always have to be cognizant of what he's doing. You don't want him to get involved in the game. Again, you have Derrick Henry. You got a bullseye on him. You know where he's going to be. You know what you need to do. Now, Can you do it? That's a different story. You know what D-Hop's limitations are, you know, in where he's at in his career. He's not a deep threat. So can the Titans methodically move the ball down the field with him, with the young quarterback? That's yet to be seen. But the one guy, again, the one guy they don't want to blow this game open is a Treylon Burks, because he has the potential to allow this Titans offense to be a two-play offense, meaning, yeah, we run the ball once with Derek, and then we hit you over the top for 60 yards with Treylon Burks. Why? Because he has the speed, the strength, and the ability to get down the field. But again, can he make the catch? That's the big story around here.
If he can take the top off the defense, I want to see that.
Yeah,
I
do
too. I
want to
see it before I can believe it. Let's pick some underdogs coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.